Hey guys, and welcome back to Topic Tuesday. If you've been able to watch any of the previous episodes, then thank you so much for your support. It's so much appreciated. We are now on episode 17, and I'm so excited to be joined by Sasha, fellow Brummie, who has come to talk all about business, motherhood, parenting, co-parenting. And I'm so excited to be on the soap with her. I feel very honored, as Sasha's just alluded. She's like, I don't do this very often. So I feel so thankful that you're here and you've come out your way to do this. And I know you guys are going to be really excited to hear this one too. So Sasha, do you want to introduce yourself?
I'll try. So I guess my internet name, Sasha Elise. I'm an influencer, a mom, a business owner.
That's right.
That really about sums me up. Like, that's me.
Love that. And all those things you just touched on, we're going to be touching on today. But first of all, let's give them a little bit of a background as to you. So where were you born, even though I've already said, but like your age, background, family, give us a little bit of a taster into who you are as a person.
Okay, so I was actually born in Derby. I mean, a lot of people don't really know that. So I was born in Derby, came to Birmingham when I was about 4. And then I moved to London when I was, how old was I? 22 or 23, one of them. I was there for like 6 years, 5 years, 5, 6 years. I'm now 28. I'm now back in Birmingham.
How's that? Are you loving it?
Do you know what I am? Like, I was nervous because I always wanted to, like, escape from Birmingham. Like, I was just like, I hate it here. It's so small. There's nothing to do. Like, I just, you know. Like, it was just, like, I hated it. Like, any chance that I had to, like, get out of Birmingham, I was out.
Yeah.
But I think being a mom, like, kind of changed everything for me.
Really?
Yeah, like, I think when I moved to London, I was happy to leave Birmingham, but I missed my family and stuff. And I'd say my relationship with my family also got better. It got stronger. And then having a child, it just kind of intensified that even more.
Yeah.
So, yeah, last year I decided to move back just to be closer to friends and family.
Which is really important.
Yeah, especially
in motherhood, it's like
you need that village. Yeah,
so bad.
You really do.
Because really first do. Of all, you need the village to help you, but also it's that like emotional support and that blanket, and just whenever you need them. When you're in a different city, it's not easy. You know,
easy. And for me, it's the little things like just going for a cup of tea.
Yeah,
just people popping around on the weekend. Like,
that's so interesting, because I was speaking to someone the other day and they had moved to Dubai.
Yeah.
Because previously in the year, I was like, I want to get up, I want to go to Dubai. And she was talking to me. She was like, Lucy, like, although it has its greats, like, I miss just going into my local village with my mom and having a cup of tea.
I get those
like meaningful moments that like we never think of, and you lose so easily when you try and chase the next thing. And 100%. I was like, that's so true.
I feel like Dubai is one of those, because I've had that thought, like, it would never happen, obviously, but I've had that thought, like, the quality of life just seems so nice.
Yeah.
So much to do, but so lonely. Like, and obviously you meet people everywhere you go. Like, I had friends in London, I'd met like great people, but it's just not the same as like somewhere that you consider home. And London just never felt truly like home.
But you had a good time.
I had a good time.
Like, a really good time.
Yeah, it is a really good time.
But you were ready to come back.
I was ready to come back.
And I love that, and I'm glad you're happy.
Yeah.
And sometimes we kind of reignite that relationship with somewhere that you lost. And I think it's a lot to do with like life stages and ages and what you're seeking from that place. And
definitely
when you become a mom, you just need that,
like, to be grounded. I think that's what it is.
And so what age did you have Nala? Nala is, I'm not going to introduce Nala, actually. That's your pride and joy. Who's Nala?
So Nala is my daughter. She's just incredible, to be honest. But I had her when I was, well, I'm 28 now and she's going to be four. I think I had her when I was 24.
24,
I think. Pregnant 23. Yeah. Had her at 24.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, because now I know what it takes to be a mom. I would never have commented on this before, but now I know what it takes to be a mom. I'm like, it's completely life-changing at that age.
So life-changing. Literally, I've said to all of my friends, quote me if I'm wrong, I've said, wait until you're like 30.
I say the same thing.
Yeah, like, I just, honestly, the pressure to have kids young, I'm just I don't get it.
When people meet Ziggy, they're like, oh, God, I'm so broody, I want to have one. And I literally say to them, I'm like, yeah, he's so cute and so much fun, but it's the most intense thing. And just be patient with it, because I didn't realize how intense it was.
Yeah,
you know. And it was like the biggest reality check in my life.
Yeah, honestly.
Like, that's for being so naive, Lucy. Yeah. I was like, okay, cool. But although it's the best thing in the world, and you wouldn't change it.
It's true.
And how was your pregnancy?
My pregnancy was, do you know, it wasn't that bad. Like, I feel like I had quite an easy pregnancy. I had the typical, like, month 1 to 3, the nausea, you know, the feeling ill kind of thing. And then from like 4 to 7/8, because you are 10 months pregnant, technically, aren't you? I have to say that was fine. But then the last 2 months were just hell. Like, I was so heavy and so big.
Yeah.
And it was just so uncomfortable. Was in lockdown, like, it was just, I was like a couch potato.
Feel like that, don't you?
Yeah, it just,
I think the patience runs out in the end.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm like bigger than, like, I'm ready to get you.
Yeah, no, honestly.
Was she on time?
She went over by 11 days.
Okay.
So that just infuriated me even more, because I was just like, oh my God, I'm so heavy, like, sleeping. I don't know about you, but I had to physically lift up my belly and turn when I was sleeping in bed.
Yeah.
Like, I just couldn't. And I asked someone that question the other day. I was like, you know, when you used to sleep when you was pregnant, did you have to like turn your belly with you? They was like, no. And I was just like,
did you have a big bum?
Huge. Like, in the end, I was enormous. Like, I don't understand how she got so big.
And was she born big? Was she big?
She was, yeah. She was chubby. She had rolls and everything. Oh, like, it was... my body didn't.
What was
my vagina weight? Didn't. She was...
My vagina didn't either, babe. My goodness.
It's honestly, like, the most intense thing.
Did you feel it all in your butt? Because I did.
Like a watermelon.
Why did no one tell
An
you that?
An actual watermelon.
Thinking, where are you out from? Because it feels like my arsehole's ripping.
Yeah, it was... Oh my God, it was awful. But yeah, no one does tell you that. And this is the thing, like, I think at the time when I had Nala, I was doing YouTube, and I remember kind of like giving people updates and like the experience. And I was just like, why don't people talk about this stuff? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if it's because you're not a mom and you're not going through that. You're not looking for it. So you're not finding it. Do you know what I mean? But I was just like, this is like honestly dreadful.
And was your labor good? I don't know if any labor's good. That's not the right word to use, is it? But I would say for me, I had a really terrible pregnancy, but a really good labor.
Really?
And sometimes I think you get one or the other. I don't know any of my friends, because all my friends now start to have babies. Like, every bad pregnancy, they've had an amazing labor. And every great pregnancy, the labor's gone downhill.
Really? So how long was your labor?
3 days.
Your labour was 3 days?
Yeah, yeah. But what I mean is that I got to push him out with, like, no pain relief. And, like, it was just really great. Like, I just had the best
three
time.
3 days, though. I'm looking like... So was you contracting for 3 days?
Yeah. He was testing my patience. What about you?
Oh, my God. Mine was 12 hours.
Oh, love
and
that.
I thought that was bad. Like, I was like, I can't do this
well
anymore. But I guess your contractions wouldn't have been, like, you wouldn't have been 12 centimetres.
No, no. When they started, I went into hospital thinking I was, like, 6 centimetres. They were like, you 1 centimetre. I was like, you're joking.
So you was dilating. You had to go home.
And then I went back and I was only 2 centimetres. I was like, I've been contracting for 10 hours. Oh. I went 0 to 100, basically.
Oh, my God.
So you got a 12-hour labour. That's lovely. What a dream. And she came out naturally.
Yeah, she came out naturally. But I'd say by the time, it was too late at this point, but I remember, because I had like a pool birth at home.
Oh, did you have a home birth?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, crazy. I don't think I'll do that again.
Oh, okay.
But I remember I got to a certain point, I was like to the midwife, like, is it too late to go to the hospital? Like, I need an epidural. Like, this is too much. They was like, no, you're fine. You're doing amazing. You can do this. Just like, you know, trying to encourage me. But I was just like, what have I done? That
It's
pain. And
painful.
you didn't have pain relief either.
No, this is going to sound really weird.
3 days.
And every mother and woman is, I quite enjoyed the feeling.
No,
It's weird.
you're
Yeah.
sick.
I quite liked I liked the pain because I could understand what my body was doing. And I was in such a flow that, like, when the pain was happening, I knew what was happening and I just had my mind in the game. I'm so weird.
Was
I know.
you practicing hypnobirthing or
Yeah.
anything?
I was
Okay.
proper in, like, my hypnobirthing.
Yeah, I
Someone rolled
tried.
their eyes at me.
Yeah, no, you know, I really tried because I thought I'm gonna have a home birth. Let me, you know,
Getting
get into
it.
there. I even brought a course and everything. Like,
Yeah.
was having like one-to-ones with this woman. As soon as those contractions
Goes
came,
out the
all
window.
it went out the window.
I mean, I
Like,
still like mooed like a cow. I wasn't
yeah.
quiet, but like I understood what was happening. And because I understood what was happening, I was cool with the pain because I was like, I know what's going on.
Yeah, like you
It's that
know that I'm about
education,
to
isn't
bring my
it?
child into this world. Yeah.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, but no. Like,
I'm a weirdo though. Like, I slightly enjoyed it. I felt like Superwoman. Like, did you
I
feel
love
like
that.
Superwoman?
No.
No.
No. I
Oh.
felt like I was going to die.
Die. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
all
I
I
also had
kind of.
those feelings as well, but I try not to think about them.
That's amazing, though. I love that. I
And
love
so
that.
Nala came into this world, and I'm sure your life changed. Pre-Nala, was it a very kind of fast life, I can imagine? Lots of.
It was just, do you know what? Fast life. I wouldn't even say fast life. I've always been like a homebody. So like
Yeah.
I love being at home. I love spending time at home. It's just like always been my favorite thing to do. However, it was a very free life, like so much freedom. Just get up and go and do whatever
Don't
you
have to
want, when
worry
you
about
want.
anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just that kind of just changed within like the blink of an eye because you
Did you
don't
feel like
have
that was the biggest change when you had a baby?
that. Do you know what? Yes and no, because of COVID, you were kind of restricted with what you could do anyway. So I feel like that kind of helped in a way because you're forced into the house and then you have a baby with you and you can't do anything. But I felt like that made me feel okay because I didn't have FOMO because nobody was doing anything anyway. Everyone was all in the house. I was in the house. So I was just like, okay, this is okay. Like, I haven't missed out on anything. It's probably been the best time to have a kid, but I mean, looking back, it probably wasn't the best time to have a kid as well because
I think it was a difficult time for a lot of
I'd
moms.
probably say the most
Yeah.
difficult time. Like, you're literally, well, for me anyway, there was just like really no social interaction apart from on your phone. There was just no
Yeah.
social interaction at
Human
all.
touch, yeah,
Yeah, it was just such a
difficult.
weird time. But yeah, it was.
And how did you? Because Nala's, did you say Nala's four?
She's gonna be 4 in June.
Wow, I feel like that has
It has
flown.
really flown. It does though.
Time does
It
fly.
does. They're like a proper kids just really show you like how quick time goes.
And don't you think they teach you like every day to like make the most of it how you can?
Yeah.
Like Ziggy's taught me to get out every day because he's an outdoors
Yeah.
boy and like this kid
Yeah.
will not chill indoors. He's so and it just reminds me to just go out every day and just do life, like whatever it looks like, just get out and go. And I think
Yeah.
that's what really he has brought out of me.
I love
What would you
that.
say are like the highs of what being a mom has brought out of you, and what would you say the lows are? Because I know there are so many lows with
Yeah.
being a mom, and it's not normalized, and people don't talk about it because it's seen as maybe a fail or you don't appreciate it. But I think it's really important that we're really real about it, so anyone else watching this can take comfort and peace from it. So, what would you say like your highs and lows have been from having Nala and experiencing what being a mom actually takes?
I would say some of my highs are probably definitely more recently as she's gotten older. A high is that like I'm in a place where I really enjoy like just being a mom, like being a parent, and I can't say that was necessarily the case when she was a little bit younger. Like I remember having a conversation and just being like, I don't think I actually like being a mom per se, like the pressure that it has and everything that it involves. It was just a very, and again, being alone in London, it just felt like
the world was so heavy.
Almost like it was caving in, do you know what I mean? And we both used to get really ill. Like, I was ill every 2 weeks. Like, it was a really crazy...
Was there a reason for that?
I mean, I have absolutely no idea as to why that was happening.
Okay.
When I went to the doctors, they just said, she goes to nursery, they pick up things and it's normal. But I had friends that have kids in nursery and they're like, no, I never get ill. Like, So I think I just had a really bad immune system. Mm-hmm. But that was hard because it's just like you're having to deal with like this growing toddler that has all these demands, but I'm ill every 2 weeks. And it was just, it was a lot. Like it was just, you know, that was really hard. However, to make it more positive, now, I mean, I definitely don't get ill as much.
Well, that's good.
Thank God. Do you know, I turned like temporarily vegan or plant-based. Yeah, and cut everything out. And ever since doing that, I've never got ill as much. Yeah, like,
good.
Well, I'm not now. No.
Oh, you're not now? Okay.
It was like a stage where I cut everything.
Your friends laughing at you like, no. She's not vegan.
No, it was just a stage. It was a couple of months. It lasted probably like 5 months. But during that 5 months, I just never got ill. I started taking fitness serious again. And just all that kind of helped, and I feel like it just helped my immune system kind of just like shape back up to where it needs to be. But yeah, now it's helped me to be really intentional about like everything that I do, which I really love, because I think before I wasn't a very intentional person.
I think you've just hit the nail on my head.
Yeah.
That's what I think I just tried to say when I was like, yeah, I get out every day. That's what I meant. Like, you do everything with intent. Everything you do has like purpose behind it. Mm-hmm. I think that's the best word to use. Yeah.
Definitely. And that's just a great feeling, because it's just like, not only just with like Nala when I'm spending time with her, but it's just like with everything. Like, I really do try and just show up and be like, you know, the best version of me so that I can be a great version for her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's definitely one of the good things that is brought out of me. But that's definitely like a more recent thing. Like that wasn't always the case.
Yeah,
that
was that always I can the case. Definitely relate.
Yeah.
And you feel bad when you have those like thoughts of like, oh, I just don't know if I can do this.
Yeah.
Because then, for example, me personally, I'll speak to friends who are like really struggling to get pregnant, and I'm like, I feel like the worst person in the world now. But it doesn't mean that your truth isn't valid, like,
100%.
And your struggles aren't real, you know?
1,000%.
But I definitely feel like people said to me like, oh, you know, it gets harder as they get older. I'm like, no. For me, it gets easier.
It gets
easier. That first year of Ziggy's life, I don't know how I got through it.
So hard.
I just don't know how I'm know how I'm sat here with you.
I agree.
But now it's so much fun.
Yeah.
Like, everybody who says it gets harder, I don't think it gets harder. No. So I think it gets better. It gets more fun.
Yeah.
Ziggy can communicate with me.
Yeah.
We do things more on like, you know, yeah. I just think it's so much more like... enjoyable. I have to use that word, which I hate using, but I feel like it's the truth.
I agree. And I do feel like as well, like for me, I definitely, it was never 100% confirmed, but I think I went through postpartum depression.
Oh, too, sis.
And that obviously doesn't help when you have a newborn. So coming out of that.
Did you get therapy?
I did go to therapy, and it was my therapist that was like, I mean, it was never, she can't diagnose me if she thinks I've came out of something, but she was like, just from hearing the things that you're saying, it sounds like you had postpartum depression, but you're on the other side of it now.
So you want to talk about it? You called?
Sure, yeah.
So when you were going through it, what emotions like were you feeling?
So my emotions weren't necessarily like towards Nala. Like, it was never like, I don't know, some parents, they can feel emotions like, I'm not feeling attached to my child. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I love them. Mm-hmm. Like, it was never that. Like, I always felt like an overwhelming amount of like love and just like just so happy. But I think it was more so like losing myself and just not knowing who I was. And like, it just bringing, I don't know, it kind of made me like just look at myself and perhaps not be the happiest with myself, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that just kind of made the whole process, I'd say, of her from like, I'd say zero to like two.
Mm-hmm.
It just made that process really difficult.
Oh, wow. So it was a long time then. You think you felt it for like 2 years? Wow.
Yeah.
They say it takes 2 years to recover from a baby as a woman.
Yeah,
but
they
to
do.
Have to be in that, I call it a pit. I sound so negative right now, but
no, it is a pit.
I just felt like I was in a pit and I couldn't get out. And yeah. Every day was cloudy.
Yeah.
Every day was so cloudy.
Yeah.
I didn't know left from right. And it's such a struggle when I think before you become a mom, you're so sure.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is this? It's such a struggle. But 2 years, that's really difficult. And well done for coming out the other side.
No, yeah. But the weird thing is, I didn't realize at the time when I was going through it. It was only like looking back, like in retrospect,
really?
I was kind of like, whoa, like who was that person?
Something was wrong there.
Like,
yeah.
It was just very like, I don't even recognize that, mm-hmm. like who I mm-hmm. was. Do you know what I mean? And the kind of thoughts that I had. So
and did therapy help?
1,000%.
That's my biggest regret. I thought I could do it myself because I'm like this stubborn Scorpio, and I was like, I'm like therapy. And now I'm like, oh my god, how dumb! Like
therapy's
I
great.
Could have saved me and saved so much that went wrong.
I wish I did it sooner as well.
Yeah. So to anyone watching this who's maybe thinking or feeling like me and Sasha, and if you think you can get out of it yourself, you probably can, but it's going to be so much harder.
Yeah.
And I think therapy should be like a general checkup, like for everyone.
100%.
I think it's so, what's the word I want to use?
I want to say important, but it's not
important, meaningful. Like there's so much that I think people take from it, but it's also seen as like, oh, if you've gone to therapy, you kind of failed at something. I'm like,
oh my God, no. It's definitely, I think therapy is like just as important as like, I don't know, going and getting your blood
done
to see if you're lacking vitamins.
Yeah.
Like it's so important because I realized a lot about myself after going to therapy, but before I had no idea. I had absolutely no idea. Like some of the things that I was thinking or some of the things that I'd been through, like you just think that they're normal. This is just who I am, or mm-hmm. this is just the way that I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then like a therapist will just tell you like, no.
They're like, put the light bulb on.
And I'm like, oh, that makes sense. And then you're able to actively like make changes.
Put the
which
pieces
is nice.
Together. Yeah. Sasha's no longer with Nala's dad.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like the breakdown of relationship had something to do with those first 2 years of struggle? Or do you think that was something completely separate? Because I know when people have a child, I'd actually love to know what the exact statistics are, because I bet they're high. So many relationships fail.
Yeah, and it's just such a shame.
Right. Mm. Do you think that had anything to do with what you were going through?
I think so. I think one thing I always used to say to myself is like, well, before I have a child, like I want to be healed, I want to be healthy, like I just want to be like a really whole person. And I thought that I was, like I thought, like I'm fine, like I'm ready, like there's nothing, you know, wrong, not wrong with me, but there's nothing that I feel like I need to heal from, like, but I was just wrong. And it's like I didn't realize until after I had Nala. Unfortunately, and, you know, loads of people always say like, just don't have a child until you're healed because you don't want to pass anything on to them, which is very real. And that's why I'm also glad that I went to therapy when I did, mm-hmm. because I've had the chance to, you know, sort things out.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that I experienced or anything that any bad habits or bad ways or just trauma that I was carrying is not going to get passed mm-hmm. on to Nala because I've dealt with it.
Mm-hmm. But the relationship didn't survive.
Yeah.
That comment, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, that I don't know, like looking back, there's a lot of things, but I think to navigate through a relationship, like it takes a lot of work, and I think you need a lot of support. And if you don't have the tools to get through what it is that you're going through, like I just think it's not really gonna work. And I can confidently say, like, I didn't have the tools to get through a complicated, like, stage of things. Do you know what I mean?
You worded that so well. And your relationship was in the public eye massively.
Yeah.
Did you feel a lot of pressure?
Do you know what? I would say yes and no. Yes, because naturally I'm quite an introverted, laid back. Before I was in that relationship, I would be that person that would just disappear for like months at a time because I just couldn't be on social media for too long. That's naturally just like who I was at that point. So then obviously going into a relationship and you're in the public eye and then you have all these opinions, then you realize there's all these people that now like suddenly care about your relationship and people that secretly don't want it to work, and there's just so many things that come with it. It was definitely difficult kind of dealing with everyone's opinions and everyone's voices, and then trying to like listen to your own. But one thing I will say about Nala's dad is he always made me feel comfortable, because I think being with a rapper, they kind of have like
Stigma
a
and
stigma that they're unfaithful and they do this and they're out every weekend and they're, but he was very respectful, and he definitely made it easier. He made being in the public eye easier just from the way that he was. So that definitely helped. But I think for my own self, like just going from someone who just wasn't out there that much to then just being thrown in the deep end with it, that was intense. And I remember like the first couple of like hateful messages I got, I was literally in bed crying my eyes out, because I was just like, how are people this mean? Like,
What
people
kind of
can
stuff
be,
would they say?
what would they say? Oh God, I don't even think I can really remember, but I remember one comment. So it was like common knowledge that like my mom had passed away, and there was just this comment. There was this girl that used to harass everyone. So looking back, I don't even know why I let it get to me, but she used to harass like everyone. She's actually disappeared off the map now, which is weird. Maybe she went to prison. But she messaged me one time, and she was just like, I hope your daughter dies like your mom, and just saying really, yeah, and I'm pregnant at this time as well. I'm just like, why would you even say that?
She's so people like that need
She
a lot
weren't
of
normal.
healing.
Yeah, she wasn't normal. But
I'm so sorry you had to go through that.
oh no, it's fine.
Especially in a really vulnerable time. When you are pregnant, you are so
Yeah,
vulnerable.
no, you are. But yeah, like just random fake pages would just come along and just say something, and it would just kind of like interrupt your day. And it's one of those things where it's like there's a lot more love than there is hate. But I think as human, naturally, if someone just comes up to you and be like, I think you're so ugly, I hate your eyes, and then 10 people can come and tell you that you're beautiful and they
You
love your
think
eyes,
that,
but you're gonna remember that one
yeah, it's
person
like
that
human
has.
nature.
Yeah, and so I think dealing with that was just hard, because it's like I never really had to deal with much criticism ever, because in the normal world, people don't just come up to you and criticize you. Do you know what I mean? They keep it to themselves,
They do.
or they go and tell their friend. Like, you don't have to deal with that.
I guess it's all part of being in a public relationship with someone who is quite well known. How did you guys meet?
Instagram.
Okay, cool. Did he slide in your DMs?
Yeah, he did actually, I think. Yeah.
And the rest is history. Well, I obviously have, I just feel like because when you have the baby and the whole world gets thrown upside down, I can relate in so many ways. But, and I know it's really difficult just from how we've spoken earlier. And it's really tough. And you have to battle things and go through things that you never wish you would go through. But you have the most beautiful daughter. And I guess you just always lean on that for comfort.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, I don't know how exactly how it feels, but I can only just imagine, as I say. And Nala came into your lives for a reason. Hey, definitely believe the universe put her there for a reason. So going on to co-parenting, because I put a question box on my Instagram story and a lot of people wrote in. I personally feel like co-parenting has this stigma, right? It's like you guys failed, so now you're gonna have this really traumatic experience of bringing up your child. And actually, it's so normal. And I would say every other person with a child probably co-parents. And I think it can be a beautiful thing, mm-hmm. especially if two people have realized, like, me and you are no good for each other, but we're still going to do a really good job of this. And mm-hmm. I think that's a real special thing to do, because you're putting your child first, which is, of course, the number one priority. So mm-hmm. how is co-parenting for you? In a nutshell.
In a nutshell. It's been a journey. It's definitely been a journey. It's not been as straightforward as it may have looked. And I just think, like you said, one thing that, like, we have had to do, regardless of anything, is just always focus on Nala and kind of, like, remove our own emotions away from the situation, because we would go through periods where we'd be arguing all the time, like, and then we've got to, like, go into a meeting together and it's just like, hi, like, and, you know, I think luckily me and him were quite both, we're like very, we don't hold on to things, do you know what I mean? We kind of get over things, like, quite quickly. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's helped. But yeah, I think just removing any emotions that you feel for each other, or any emotions that you have, like, I don't know, surrounding, like, the past relationship or whatever, and just focusing directly on your child, in our case, on Nala, has just helped us to navigate and get to where we are today. And of course, with me and him, like, we have a business together, and it's like,
That must be hard. It's like you have almost two babies together, because one is Nala and one is the business.
Yeah,
and you almost have to treat business like a baby. You have to nurture it and love it. And
exactly. And I just think, yeah, it's just something that, like, we couldn't have. It's something that we couldn't have prepared for. When we broke up, we had the conversation. It was just kind of like, do we still want to do this together, or is one of us gonna do it? Should one of us step away? And we kind of just said, no, like, we started this for Nala, let's finish it for Nala, kind of thing.
How soon after Nala's baby was born did you separate?
So we had the idea of starting it in 2020, before Nala was born, probably a year. So we hadn't actually launched it or anything.
Okay.
It was still, like, just in the background.
Yeah.
Was kind of, like, working on it, developing it. So I'd say, like, a year into that.
Okay.
But by this point, we'd both invested, like, a lot of money into it and stuff as well. So it was just, like, another investment that we'd both made. And it was just like, okay, well, we think still doing it together is going to be the best thing. And that's been, it's been tough as well. That's been hard, because I think for the most part, if you break up with someone, usually people break up businesses and stuff as well, don't they? They don't.
Yeah, and it's not normal, really, when you break up with someone to be talking every day about business.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I can assume it must be hard to try and detach when, you know, you're still talking every day and seeing this person so often. Normally when you break up, you don't normally see the person.
Yeah.
And you don't normally talk to them.
Yeah.
So I can imagine that was really, really difficult.
Yeah, I'd say at the beginning.
Yeah.
Definitely.
When everything's a bit sore.
Yeah, it just kind of, like, makes everything a lot more complicated, a lot more difficult, because it's like you don't have that space where you can separate. I think usually when you break up with someone, you kind of go cold turkey, and mm-hmm. then it's just, but you can't do that with a child and a business. So
nope.
It definitely made things more difficult for a long while. And then, I mean, over the years now, because we've been separated a few years, it's got a lot easier to navigate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when the lines stopped kind of being blurry, that just made things a lot easier as well to kind of just
navigate.
Yeah, and to just focus, like, directly on the business and on Nala. No, and
it's much more black and white.
Yeah.
The emotion starts to, like, weave out.
Yeah.
And one thing that people wrote in about was your faith mm-hmm. and your Nala's dad's faith.
Mm-hmm.
They're different.
Yeah.
For those who may not know, Nala's dad is Muslim
mm-hmm.
and you are Christian.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that. Is it difficult? 'Cause what What's Nala raised as?
So Nala's technically, if we're technically speaking, in her dad's eyes, some Muslims believe that when they have a child, that that child is born Muslim. So he would probably consider her Muslim. We haven't really had that conversation. And for me, I wouldn't say or force on her that she's a Christian out of respect for her dad. However, she does come to church with me, and when we pray, she prays to Jesus, like, you know. So we definitely keep things like separate. But we're just respectful of each other's beliefs. If Cass wants her to partake in like Ramadan and stuff like that, like the celebration of it, I'm not going to tell him that he can't. And when Nala wants to come to church or do certain things, he also don't, you know, he don't tell her no, or tell her that she
So it works
can't.
quite well then.
It works quite well for now. Yeah, we'll see.
And the older Nala gets, I mean, it's hard to talk so much in the future, but I don't know if you think about like the older Nala gets, will you just give her the autonomy to choose what she feels right for her rather than like.
Definitely. I think for me, I don't think having faith in God has ever worked when it's kind of forced onto someone anyway, because you have to have a relationship for yourself. So I would never force anything on her. A big part of my religion is faith, and it's just having faith that, you know, God will come through, and just she'll just know Jesus for herself. But that might not be the case, and if it's not the case, then I would just support her in, you know, whatever it is, whatever life journey she
Goes on. Mom
goes
will be
on.
right next to her.
Yeah.
And do you go to church every week?
Yeah.
So you would say your faith is really strong.
Yeah, I'm definitely practicing, I'd say.
Are
Practicing, is that
you?
what we call it? Practicing Christian?
Yeah.
Is it practicing?
And are you, is this a recent thing or have you always?
No, it's definitely not recent. So I've always believed in God. Growing up, I would go to church. I went to a Christian primary school, but it was never like a family thing. My mom and dad were Catholic, actually. I think both of them were Catholics.
Have you lost both your parents?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But they weren't religious or anything like that. They were quite the opposite. But just in my area, the local things to do were go to church on a Sunday, go to something called Friday Club, which was run by like two Christians, a husband and a wife. And then my primary school was just like heavily Christian. So I always had like that influence growing up. Then I became a teenager, and then I told myself that I was an atheist. And then and I was just like, no, there's no God. I don't believe in God, whatever. And then I'd say throughout my 20s, slowly, the relationship of kind of like weaving in and out, a few things would happen that kind of just made me realize, no, like God is real. And
So you've had experiences like personally as to like, well, there's got to be something bigger than this.
yeah,
That's
definitely,
interesting.
definitely. And then last year, not last year, 2022, it's called getting saved. I would say I got saved, and that's when I started to take my relationship with God seriously. So I invested like actual time into building a relationship, in getting to know God, and like spending time going to church, and just again, just being intentional about the things that I'm doing, the things that I'm learning and stuff. And yeah, it's kind of just been from there, really.
That's a
It's kind of
really
been a bit of a roller
important
coaster,
part of your
but
life
it's part of
now.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Love that. And just touching on co-parenting slightly before we move on. A lot of people wrote in because co-parenting is so normal and so many people go through it. So let's normalize it a little bit more. And said we really struggle. There was a very common theme. We really struggle when the parent, one of the parents has a new partner. And the child or children are introduced to another man or woman, which I can totally understand. Do you have any of those emotions, like Nala potentially having another woman slash mother figure in her life based on his choices? And does that bring out certain feelings in you? If that makes any sense of how I've worded that.
I'm gonna say no because Cass is he's quite a sensible person. Like, I know that he wouldn't just have anyone unless he trusts them, unless he knows that they're gonna be a good example to Nala, unless, you know, it makes sense for him and Nala's life. I know he wouldn't just be introducing just anyone to her. So I feel like that's something that I don't even think about because
That's
I
really
wouldn't
nice
even
though.
like, I wouldn't worry about it. I trust that whoever he brings around Nala,
He's gonna be a good
he's
one.
making a good decision. So, yeah, I just try not to think about that. I think it can be just unnecessary stress, but again, it does depend on who the mother or the father of your child is, because if you kind of have like a crazy baby father or a crazy
That would be really tough.
it's gonna be difficult because
'Cause you're trying to protect someone that you can't really protect 'cause you're not
you
there.
don't have that control. Yeah,
I
so
do feel like with co-parenting, so a lot of people wrote in and they were like, you have to let go of control
you do.
'cause you just
You
cannot
just,
control it. So
yeah.
stop even trying because it's so mentally exhausting. Once they go, they are out of your hands
That's
and you
it.
just have to hope, pray, and have faith in the fact that they're good. And
Yeah.
I think I can really understand that.
That's literally like nail on the head. Literally.
Yeah, I just can
That's
imagine
it.
it.
I think when you try and hold on to that control still, that's where it's just like the emotions and stuff, everything's just delayed. Because, and that's when people get bitter and
Yeah,
it's
it
just not,
becomes
it's just not
sticky.
worth it. It's just like, just let go and just try, you know, if you are concerned about it, just try and have as much of a grown-up conversation about it without it being, you know, coming from a bitter place
Emotional.
and you trying to control anything. Just be honest about how you feel and what you want. And, you know, sometimes you do have to look at yourself and think, okay, what I'm expecting right now is actually, I'm probably expecting a little bit too
Too
much,
much.
because I think some people would be like, no, you're not allowed to introduce someone to my kid until you've been dating for 10 years. And it's just like, it's just like, be real, you know? So.
I think from the stance of people writing in saying, I'm struggling to meet someone new.
Yeah.
I'm really struggling to let go of the person I thought I was going to be and the person I thought I was going to be with. And I'm really struggling to let go of that family picture. And I can understand that. So, touching on the business, Nala's
Yeah.
Baby, which is so exciting and is super popular. You're in like all, if not most, mainstream Tesco, Boots,
Morrison's,
Morrison's.
Ocado now.
Oh, cool. Order
Yeah.
online. Love that.
Yeah.
So talk to us about like the idea, where it was born, kind of what the mission is with Nala's baby now. Nala has eczema, still to this current day, right? Did she have a period where she suffered really badly? What was kind of the journey with Nala's eczema? Because my baby also had eczema, so I know how that feels. It's really
Yeah.
difficult.
So Nala's eczema kind of started like really late. So it started when she was like 1 and a half. Just out of nowhere.
Really? You don't know what the trigger was?
Just completely out of nowhere. When we got her allergy tested, when we got the results back, they made it seem as though she was allergic to everything. So
Okay.
like fish, beef, wheat, oats, gluten. So we cut absolutely everything out of her diet. We spent money with a nutritionist, like trying to tailor a diet plan and everything for her. And it just didn't work. So we were doing that
No.
for months. Nursery were in on it. Everyone was in on it. When she went to her nan's, like everything was just very strict. Like she couldn't eat anything, but her skin just seemed to be getting worse, not better, and was just like, okay, this is weird. So then after a while, I'd say after probably, it might have been even coming up to a year, I've gone back and I've looked at the results of like the allergy test for myself, and I'm going through, and on the sheet it says like 0.02% allergic, 0.01, 0.03, but it's out of 10. So I'm like, 0.02% allergic out of 10 is
Isn't
not
that many?
allergic. Like, that's literally not an allergy. So I phoned them and I was explaining the results. And the lady was like, yeah, no, that's not an allergy. That sounds like, because she has eczema, if you give her these foods that are known to cause allergies, she could have some sensitivity and it could, you know, make her eczema worse or something like that. So I was just like, what? So after we spent all this money, you guys telling us that we need to do this, do that, you're now telling me that she's not allergic. So that was really frustrating because we thought that we'd found, like, gotten to the bottom of it. Started to just introduce more normal food to her again. Still didn't get better. And to be honest, I'd say it only just started to get better. So when we moved back to Birmingham, which is really weird. So, and anytime she goes back to London now for like longer than 2 days, she comes back
covered,
flared up, and she itches.
Heartbreak.
But then she'll be here for like, I'd say by day 5, it's all gone back down and she's just, her skin's back to normal. So I still don't know what it is exactly that's causing it, but I do know that London's making it worse. So being here has actually really helped because her skin was so bad. Like, that's so bad.
And does, do you use Nala's baby on her?
Yeah.
And does it?
Yeah, it's actually the only thing that works on her. So when we first started to create Nala's baby and we was getting the samples, she had like little patches of like eczema in the creases of her elbows and the back of her legs. And when we would use that on her, it would calm it down.
Mm-hmm.
But we couldn't get loads of samples because at this point we hadn't made an order for like for them to send them. So when we'd run out of the samples, we'd notice that her eczema would get bad again. But then it got so bad that we couldn't even use Nala's baby because she was scratching and her skin was cracked and sore and everything that you put on them just kind of like irritates. But yeah, when I say I tried every single thing that I could possibly try, and just nothing worked for Nala, like absolutely nothing.
It's really heartbreaking, isn't it?
It's the hardest thing, like the lack of sleep that you get, the lack of sleep that they get. So going on holiday
in there, oh, it's awful. It's soul destroying. I say it to everyone, like, I never realized what it actually took to get through that year because of the eczema and allergies, like
so hard,
the sleep deprivation. Oh, but as I say, it's not only just for me,
yeah,
and Seth, for example, it's for Ziggy,
yeah, like it's for them. Sleep, how is they the biggest must be healer, feeling,
but they're not, they sleeping because they're itching, so the skin's not healing. It's like this vigorous cycle. And it is soul destroying.
It's awful.
So I'm so glad to hear that she's doing better now. Yeah. And what would you say, like, from a business perspective, the mission is for Nala's baby? Is it just to do more of what you're doing? Or is there a plan, different things to come?
So the kind of, like, guideline that we wanted to always adhere to from the very beginning was we just want to create products that are clean, affordable, and just available to most people, because the equivalent to our products, they do exist. It's not that they're not out there, and it's not that there's no clean products out there, but they're just really expensive and people just can't afford to have them. So it's to maintain that throughout, and for it not to just be one or two products, but for it to just be the entire range. And so like the whole brand, that's just the ethos of the brand, basically, just getting that out there, just clean, natural products, but to also expand further. So we're currently trying to branch off and see where we want to next take it, whether that's like...
Is it international?
Not yet. So we wanted to kind of like master the UK and get our internals just together and organized here. And just build as big as we can here so that when it is time to go international, we're like recognized. We're recognized and it just makes it a lot easier than just to rush to America or Europe. And we have had those offers, but right now it just doesn't make sense. The most sense.
So I just want to touch on, people were interested to know how your like days are set up.
Yeah.
Because obviously we know you have done influencing and like content creation, but now you've got Nala's baby and that's a really important business to you, and you've got Nala. So give us like a typical day, what it might look like with regards to like what the split/setup is. And I know every day is different.
Okay, but, so different.
Yeah.
It's so hard. Can you give us
like a general gist as to what that looks like?
Okay, so for me, it's like my periods of like being busy, it's like I'll go 2 weeks and all I've really got to do in those 2 weeks is like a few Zoom calls. Thank God for Zoom as well. The physical meetings, I don't have to do them like out much. Yeah. Yeah. But I'll have like 2 weeks where I don't really have to do much intense work when it comes to Nala's and stuff. It would just be a Zoom or a meeting here and there. And then I don't have much content that I need to do. So then in that time, I can just focus on like errands and doing things with Nala and catching up on the things that I've let get behind and stuff. And then 2 weeks later, I will arrive and it's like back to back.
Non-stop.
And I have to, I'm having to drive to London, stay there for like 3 days. I have meetings, I have events, I have this, I have that. And it just kind of changes. So it's hard to say like what a typical day looks like at home. I would say drop Nala to nursery, come back. There's usually some kind of Zoom in the week that I have to do that lasts about 2 hours. So that's quite a big chunk. By the time I've dropped Nala to nursery, done that Zoom, big chunk of my day. It's like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. And I'm like, how? Then I've got to make dinner. And then I've got to try and find the time to go to the gym or do some kind of like physical activity. And then there's like laundry that needs to be doing. And then there's like the house needs to be cleaned. Like there's just so much. The laundry,
endless.
Endless. I'm like, how? It's me and a small child in the house. Why is there so much laundry? Yeah. So yeah, it just depends. And like when it's really busy, I won't do housework or cook for like a week.
So it's, like, it's just on catch up.
Yeah, yeah. The balance is just, there's not really a balance.
No,
I think it's kind of impossible to like balance. Like you can try and balance like as best as you can, uh-huh. but a balance, I don't think it really exists.
No, and I think you learn that so much more when you have a child. Like,
yeah.
Again, it's like trying to control the uncontrollable. Like sometimes you just got to go with it.
Yeah.
But do you find yourself getting like, I don't know if it's just me, I don't like to use this word because it's actually very serious, so I'm not going to use it, but I get like stressed when the house isn't in order.
Oh my God.
And then I like let it frustrate me. And then
it's a real thing.
Want to bite someone's head off.
Yeah.
And that's half the problem.
Yeah.
Like the laundry basket's full, like get over it, Lucy. But I'm like, you want everything to be balanced. It's so hard.
But it's like a clean space. Clear mind. Like, oh, it's just so
real.
Yeah,
like, there's nothing better than a tidy house in my opinion.
There's nothing like it.
And do you have lots of support from your family now you're back home?
I wouldn't say lots of support because a big chunk of my family live in Telford, which is like a bit,
like further north.
Yeah, it's like far.
It's north of Birmingham.
Not even like towards Manchester. I don't even know if that's north or south.
It's north.
Is it north?
It's north.
Yeah, so up that way. And then, yeah, some of them do live here. So I definitely do get a lot more help. Like if I need someone to just pick up Nala or take her to gymnastics or
does she do this. Gymnastics?
Yeah,
oh,
bless her. Yeah. There's always just like, everyone's just a phone call away. So that really helps. I don't have to be so stressed out like, oh, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this?
Yeah. Do you have siblings?
I have loads of siblings.
Do you?
Yeah, but it's like a weird one because they're all a lot older.
Okay.
So growing up, I always felt like the only child.
Mm-hmm.
And then now, not everyone lives, you know, like too close. Everyone's kind of like dotted around. One of my closest sisters to me lives in America.
Oh, that's helpful, isn't it?
So helpful. So yeah, it's... I have a lot of siblings, but everyone's just kind of like...
Scattered, doing life.
Scattered, yeah. Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah,
a few people actually wrote in about your YouTube and said, why are you not doing it anymore?
Oh, did they? Loads of people actually always say, are you ever going to go back to YouTube? And I'm just like, I need some more hours in the day. And
is that why probably... you're not, is that why you don't do it? Because it's just a struggle with time?
Yeah, and then it's just like, I don't want to do it if I'm not going to be committed. So I don't want to just do that in one video.
I don't think people know what goes into content creation.
Yeah.
It takes so much time, energy in every way, especially if you want to put out content that is quality. It's not a rush job. It's not something that you can just quickly do. It takes planning, execution, edit, upload.
Exactly.
And when you don't have the time to do it, it's really, really difficult.
It's frustrating.
And that's probably why we don't see you so much on there.
Literally.
If you had all the time in the world, I'm sure we'd get...
I would do it. I mean, I went to... Okay, so I went to Jamaica in September for my sister's wedding. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to vlog this. It's going to be time to go back into YouTube. I got there. By day three, do you think I'd even picked up my camera again? So it's even that. It's just like remembering when I've... It's just hard. I just think it's hard. And I think with a child as well, I have baby brain. Like, baby brain still exists.
Yeah.
Even at three. And it's like, pick up my camera or fill up my bag with everything that Nala needs for the day. And
there's no question of what you can do.
Left, you know what I mean? So you just end up like... missing things. I just think, oh, it's just, again, you have to be very intentional about it, and it's just like, I have to pick and choose what I'm...
And you know what, when the universe is when you're meant to have that intention and time for it, you'll do it.
Yeah,
it's just right now probably isn't the known priority,
the best time.
But we hope you come back soon, because your content is so good. I love it. I was looking back just through your Instagram pictures last night, and I was like, I love these. Like, take such good content, but all in the right timing. Mom is always a priority, and I totally get it, because even when I had Ziggy, I was like, nope.
Yeah,
it's so hard. And then it becomes an even bigger torment when it's your job and you're like,
but I have to do this.
Oh my God, yeah, so difficult.
Yeah,
but yeah, I am so thankful you've come today. I think you're amazing. I just said off camera that Sasha is so good in front of the camera, and you've smashed this podcast, and I can't wait to get it out. I know you'll all be so excited to see and hear from Sasha, and thank you for touching on things that I know are very special and private, and I think you will be able to help a lot of people just by talking about it. And I think that's what I try to do with this podcast. So if you've made it this far, then thank you so much for watching. Please like, share, comment, subscribe, whatever you can do to support the cause. Thank you, Sasha, for being here.
Thank you
for coming.
Much.
I know you're so busy, and I appreciate it so much. So yeah, thank you. And we'll be back soon, well, next week, with another video. Ciao.